Since this is the first Sunday in the new year, let me wish you all a happy new year. So some of you, of course, were here Wednesday night at the Watch Night service, and trust that was a blessing as well to hear the many testimonies. But it is my prayer, in the words of 2 Peter 3:18, that in this new year, all of us may grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, going back a few years in history, you probably recognize the name Mahatma Gandhi. And in his autobiography, Gandhi wrote that during his student days in London, now he was born in 1869, died in 1948. He studied in London from 1888 to 1891, so a few years ago. But actually, during his time in London, he read the Gospels seriously and considered converting to Christianity. He believed that in the teachings of Jesus, he could find a solution to the caste system that was dividing the people of India. And one Sunday, he decided to go to church at a nearby church from where he was staying at the time. And he wanted to talk to the minister about becoming a Christian. When he entered the sanctuary, however, the usher refused to give him a seat. And the usher suggested that he go to worship with his own people. Gandhi left the church and never returned. He said, if Christians have caste differences, then I might as well remain a Hindu. Sad story. But that usher's respect of persons, or prejudice, you might say, turned a person away from trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. With this in mind, let us turn now to James chapter 2. And we begin with respect of persons in the first three verses. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. For if there come into your assembly a man with a gold ring in goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. Now the sentence is not complete. It will be complete later on in verse 4. But as we saw last year, I can say that today, but I won't be able to say that in the future. But as we saw last year, that was in December, when we talked about the last part of James chapter 1. True religion entails visiting the destitute. In James 1:27, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. It leaves no room for respect of persons, which indicates receiving because of one's face or appearance. Now in verses 2 and 3, James uses an illustration to condemn partiality. Now a pastor from a community church in Toronto, Canada, said in a sermon on this passage, and I quote, James gives this illustration of two people coming into church. One who pulled up in a Jag, in other words, a Jaguar car, is wearing fine clothes with an heirloom ring on his finger. The other one does his shopping at Goodwill and Dumpster Dan. The usher greets the rich man with a warm handshake, takes him to the front to introduce him to the pastor, and seats him at the best seat in the house. He tells the other fellow, "Sit here at my feet, where I can keep an eye on you." I in this case does not mean me, but rather this pastor from Toronto says, I call this the story that hurts, because it, while maybe a little bit exaggerated, it comes pretty close to the truth. Even in our casual, friendly, and accepting church, that's his church in Toronto, not Hope Church, please. All right? He says we can find that it is much easier to be accepting of the people who look like us, or people that we'd like to look like, rather than the ones who are down on their luck. So we see it very clearly there. So if the usher favors the wealthy man by giving him a good seat and discriminates against the poor man by making him sit on a bad seat in the back, he is showing partiality. That is wrong. For there is no respect of persons with God, as we read in Romans chapter 2 and verse 11. Let me repeat that verse. There is no respect of persons with God. Note also Galatians chapter 3, verses 26, 27, and 28. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. You're all one in Christ Jesus. Now, if there's no respect of persons with God, then there should be no respect of persons with us. I can't help but think of the prophet Samuel in 1 Samuel chapter 16. That's the first 7 verses there. So God said to Samuel, I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. And Samuel did that which the Lord spoke and came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass when they, that is the son of Jesse, were come, that he, Samuel, looked on Eliab, that was Jesse's oldest son, and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. The Lord looketh on the heart. There's no respect of persons with God. He does not look on the outward appearance, but he looks on the heart. And we should not look on the outward appearance. Now think about the Lord Jesus Christ. He shows 12 men. This included a fisherman. There was a tax collector, a betrayer. There was a denier. And he used that little group of 12 to start a church that would bring his message to the world. Do not look down your nose on the poor people. They are the people who God uses most to do His great works. Consider, for instance, the famous 19th century American evangelist, Dwight Moody. I mentioned Moody earlier already. But Mount Moody, born 1837, died 1899. Moody founded the Moody Church in Chicago, still exists today. Northfield School and Mount Hermon School in Massachusetts. Since then, the two schools have combined. One was a school for boys, the other was a school for girls, but now it's co-ed. Incidentally, on a personal note, when my wife and I first got married, meeting with our GP, and he said that he had studied at Northfield School. So he was a believer. He'd studied under the school started by Moody. But then also, you have Moody Bible Institute that still exists today. There's Moody Publishers publishing many books. So Moody is a very famous person. But you know, he started out selling shoes. You know, God can use all of us. Doesn't matter how we start out. Moody started out selling shoes, but he became a famous evangelist, well known all over the world. Well, with that in mind, it's been pretty clear, isn't it? We should have no respect of persons. And that's when he goes on, verses 4 and 5, you know, concludes there, stand thou there or sit here under my footstool, but it leaves the thing. Are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren, has not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom, which he has promised to them that love him? I call verses 4 and 5 evil judges. When ushers favor wealthy men over poor men, they become partial and judges with or judges of evil thought. James has reference to the evil thoughts within the judges who were showing respect to the rich and despised the poor. In contrast to these inequitable religionists, God chose the poor of this world. They are rich in faith. They may not be rich in money, but they are rich in faith. Christian paupers possess a secret riches, both in their present faith and in God's eternal kingdom. Because guaranteed, when we get to heaven, there will be no respect of person. We'll all be the same. You know? So keep that in mind. As we read earlier in Galatians chapter 3, ye are all one in Christ Jesus. So in contrast to these inequitable religions, God chose the poor of this world. So keep in mind, they are rich in faith and they are rich in God's eternal kingdom because they'll be one and the same. That brings us to sins of the rich in verses 6 and 7. But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by the which ye are called? Now God has chosen the poor, but the recipients of the epistle of James have despised the poor. You know, if you take the opening words of verse 6, but ye, strong words of condemnation in that little expression. you know, such and such and such. But, you know, there's a total change in what is going on. So here, you people, James writes to the believers, but ye, you have not done this. So there are strong words of condemnation. Now, when Jesus is speaking here of the rich man, he is actually not speaking of those who were Christians. So we need to keep that in mind. So, but he is talking about Jewish officials. But ye have despised the poor. All right? Now, these Jewish officials oppressed, that is, they hated and persecuted the Christians. They even brought the Christians before the local courts. You know, if you look even at the life of the Apostle Paul, before he became a Christian, when he was still called Saul, in Acts chapter 9. All right. What does he say? Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that he be found any of this way. But if they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. Of this way. Now, today they're called Christians. But back then, they were not known as Christians. They were called a people of the way, or this way. But it was not till later that they were called Christians. So, these Jewish religious leaders, they despised the poor, they oppressed the Christians, and these rich direct their thoughts against, ultimately, the Lord Jesus himself. You know, if you look at Acts chapter 11, verse 26, and when he, that is Barnabas in the context, had found him, that was the Apostle Paul, he, Barnabas, brought him, Paul, unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. But then the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Now there are several cities called Antioch, so keep that in mind as well. So, but the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. That brings us to verses 8 and 9, the royal law and respect of persons. Verse 8, if you fulfill the royal law according to the scriptures, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. But if you have respect to persons, you commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. So, we are to keep that in mind. The royal law means, and these are by the words of the Lutheran commentator Lenski, a good commentator, by the way, that it is law that is truly royal in its quality. And what is that law? Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now that is actually a quote from the book of Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 18. Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. So there we have, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. That phrase is quoted seven times in the New Testament. It's quoted in Matthew 19, verse 19, Matthew 22, verse 39, Mark 12:31, Luke 10:27. So you see it four times in the Gospels, the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Synoptic is one of those big words. It means seeing things in the same way. Because John's Gospel is different, because John sees Jesus as the Son of God. Well, Matthew sees him as the King of the Jews, Mark sees him as a servant, and Luke sees him as the Son of Man. So there you kind of see the difference. Matthew, King of the Jews, Mark, servant, Luke, Son of Man, John, Son of God. So here, the Synoptic Gospels quote this verse, "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." It's quoted by the Apostle Paul in Romans 13:19, and Galatians 5:14. And then, of course, it's quoted here by James in chapter 2, all right, verse 8. "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Jesus said that this, "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself," and the first commandment are so fundamental that on them hang all the law and the prophets. We see that in Matthew 22:34-40. But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, and saying, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said to him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Now an individual loves himself irrespective of financial or social status. And we should love others in the same manner. And if we do that, ye do well. If you fulfill the royal law, according to the scripture, "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself," ye do well. And James says in verse 9, that if you show respect of persons, you are not keeping the law, but you are sinning. And the law itself convicts or convinces you of it. If you have sinned in this way, by respecting persons, confess it to God. And remember 1 John chapter 1, both verse 7 and verse 9. Verse 7, "But if ye walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." And in verse 9, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." So keep that in mind. Confess your sins, and he will forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Some years ago, Life magazine did a photo essay. And what they did was they took people from all walks of life. There were street people, and there were people that live on the street and sleep on the street. They have no homes to go to. So the poorest of the poor. But they also took some of the very wealthy men, Fortune 500 executives. And then they took photos of each of these people. But, they didn't dress them in their Sunday best. They didn't dress them in their normal clothes that they would wear. The poor, rags. The rich, expensive suits. But instead, all they wore was a bath towel. They were naked, apart from the bath towel. And then they photographed them all. The amazing thing was that you really could not tell who was who. They basically all looked the same. And I guess that's true, isn't it? When all you're wearing is a bath towel, we all pretty much look alike. Now, if you think about that, this is the way we come to Jesus. Naked, with nothing to offer. And at that point, Jesus accepts us. So whether you're from the lowest of the low, from the basement apartment to a penthouse, He accepts us the same way. He loves us. He forgives us of our sins. He gives us His Holy Spirit. He lifts us up to be a child of the King of Kings. And He calls us, you and me, to accept people in the same way, without partiality, or if you prefer, with impartiality. So we need to think. First of all, are you a Christian? Have you come to Christ? If you ask Him, He will forgive your sins. He will save you. And then once you are saved, we are to live impartially, without respect of persons. As we say, with faith brings impartiality. Once we have that relationship with God, we should be impartial in our dealing with other people. That is what James says in the first nine verses of chapter 2. Will you and I do that? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we have seen in Thy Word, faith brings impartiality. When we come to Thee, it is with nothing to offer. And we know that the Lord Jesus accepts us. He accepts us the same way. He loves us. He forgives us of our sins. He gives us His Holy Spirit. And He lifts us up to be a child of the King of Kings, and Lord of Lords. And He calls us, you and me, to accept people in the same way, with impartiality. Lord, help us to do that in our dealings with people daily in our lives. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.